Welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I'd like to welcome back someone who's been on quite a bit recently, but like he told me, we got to take advantage of him while he's got some time. Welcome back to the show, Brandon Hojo. Welcome back, Brandon.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
So this week was actually kind of cool because Brandon actually reached out to me and said, I got some time. Do you want me to come on this week? And I was like, yes.
Okay. Asterisk. Okay. So the reason why I do that is because I know that you're terrified about doing a podcast alone. And so you were like, oh, but usually when I speak on messages on Sundays, that's like doing it alone. It's like, yes, but I know that you have a fear of not wanting to do Engage to Flourish by yourself.
Okay. Well,
so this is my favorite to you.
I wouldn't go as far to say a fear of it, but yes,
uncharted waters.
I have not done one by myself yet. And it is uncharted waters, and I would definitely prefer to have someone to talk to.
I'm a helping brother out, and hey, I'm free. You know, if you want me to come, I can do it.
Yeah, so I definitely appreciate it. And I wanted to get started with something. So this past Sunday was multi-gen, right? And I gave the message. And one of the things that we did during the message was we played a game, and it was about catchphrases and descriptors. And one of the catchphrases / descriptors that I used was, with great power comes great responsibility. And I said it was Spider-Man. And a lot of people after service came up to me and said, it's actually Uncle Ben. It's not Spider-Man. So you're wrong and we're right. And I wanted to address that a little bit on the podcast.
I in the moment, I was like, well, technically Peter Parker. Well, technically, I guess it is Uncle Ben and or Aunt May. And then I was like, it really doesn't matter. But I think that's really funny that they did that.
Okay, yes. It was more than one person that came up to me and said that. And so there are a few caveats, right? So originally I said this is a catchphrase or descriptor, right? Uh-huh. So that phrase is a descriptor of Spider-Man, right? Or of kind of his... what he carries.
Right.
Something that Spider-Man carries. But the direction I wanted to go with that is also, it's not just like Peter Parker's Spider-Man with, you know, Uncle Ben, but it's all of the Spider-Men. That's like the catchphrase / descriptor of all of Spider-Men. So including like Miles Morales and the other Spider-Man that's not Peter Parker that have an Uncle Ben. And that's kind of the reasoning that I used, especially in light of, you know, this past movie, the Across the Spider-Verse movie where they talked about canon events. And I feel like that saying is a canon saying for Spider-Man and not just descriptive of only Peter Parker and Uncle Ben Spider-Man.
Maybe you should have said as made famous by.
Maybe I just needed to use a lot more words to describe how I was going to get to that.
But it's also like, I hope that the people that got on your case about being specific with Uncle Ben, that those are the same people who know so much, have the same fervor for their Bible, and they know everything about, like, this is what Jesus said. Well, actually, Paul said this. You know, I hope that they have the same sentiment in the same way, you know.
I agree.
Or really, we have a lot of undercover comic book nerds out there, and they're just coming out of the woodwork. I don't know.
I think maybe part of it was just that it felt like the game was kind of hard, right? So at the end of, I think we had 7 questions or 7 characters. You know, it was a 3-way tie going into the 7th at 1. Mm-hmm. So 3 of them, people on that were guessing couldn't figure out.
Right.
Fortunately, they guessed the last one.
I thought it was really funny how Carol wanted you to do Porky Pig again. And I was like, I'm pretty sure this is the one that he wants to do the least multiple times. And then you started with that one. I was like, this is great. I know he doesn't want to do this. Keep going.
Yeah. One of the things I've been wanting to do on multi-gen is just to be a little bit more, flamboyant is not the right word.
Silly. A little bit more silly.
Silly or just like expressive.
Okay.
Right? So having the opportunity to do like Porky Pig or like, do the Rock impression or things like that. It's a little fun, and it's a little bit of an outlet to be a little bit more expressive.
Yeah. The theater side of Damon is coming out.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's a place where I feel like I can Yeah, let loose a little bit.
Jesus is laughing with us. Not at you, with us, with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I feel like, especially in watching The Chosen, it's given me a different perspective on you know, Jesus had fun too. Jesus had a sense of humor, you know, and for me personally, in some of my interactions with the Lord, like I feel like he gets my sense of humor sometimes. Mm. So yeah, it hasn't always just been a very monotone back and forth dialogue between me and the Lord. And sometimes it's just a lot of fun.
I 100% believe Jesus has a sense of humor. And whether you pick up on it or not, it's like, oh Lord, you know me so well. Don't do that anymore. You know, or whatever it is, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an opportunity to, you know, especially in multi-gen with kids and, you know, instead of having a speaker up there who's just talking to the adults, but just be able to, you know, have some fun and let the kids know that church can be fun too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, and people know when you're nervous, people know when you're being super serious, but they also know when you're having fun. And so when you're having a good time, it helps everyone else, you know, get engaged. Yeah. So it's good.
So yes, I just wanted to acknowledge that, yes, for the most part, Uncle Ben is the one that told Peter Parker that with great power comes great responsibility. But I believe it's a canon event across all the Spider-Men.
I just like how you feel the need to defend yourself, which is great. Which is, yes, good. Very good.
All right. So, you know, this past Sunday was multi-gen, and we talked a little bit about the topic of glory. And I thought that would be a good place for us to start on this episode of the podcast, was just to kind of dive a little bit deeper in glory and, you know, kind of where I got some of the ideas for that. And a lot of it has really, for me, stemmed from that verse, right? Which is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And so when I was growing up, that verse was used a lot. You know, it's part of the Romans Road. It's an evangelistic verse for a lot of people, you know, to say that, you know, we have not lived up to God's standards. Mm. And so that's why we're not going to get to go to heaven when we die. Mm. And which I don't want to say that that's not true.
Right.
I don't want to say that that's, you know, a falsity or something that people are leading people astray because they're using it in this way. I don't want to say that.
Right.
But I feel like one of the things that the Lord has been kind of impressing on my heart is that there are multiple dynamics to how the Bible was written. And so sometimes there are things that are for future, sometimes there are things for present, and sometimes there's things for both. And right, so what I feel like the Lord has been impressing on me with that verse in particular is that there is something that we're not experiencing today and each day that we were designed for, in addition to kind of the heaven thing later. Mm-hmm. So I thought we could get started with that. So how has that verse been for you growing up, Brandon, in
Romans 3:23?
Yes.
I think for all sin and fall short of the glory, it's very humbling in the way that I've grown up, where you have to recognize you are not perfect. Mm-hmm. Jesus is. And like I need Jesus. Mm. There's not I want, I prefer, it's no. And then for me growing up, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God, like Jesus has humbled himself to come to pay the price for you. Not for you general, you, like me specifically. Mm-hmm. And so there's always just this, like, I want to honor that and I want to glorify God who has a personal relationship and desire for me. And so I want to give him the honor and the praise and the glory of all these things. And so it's like, it sounds at face value kind of negative, mm-hmm. of just, you're not enough, which is true. I'm not. And so I need Jesus to change my life. Mm-hmm. Or I need Jesus and he changes my life. And so growing up, I think Romans 3:23 was just very like, oh, like that is a fact. Mm-hmm. And so how do I respond to that? And so I've always enjoyed trying to humble myself and like, hey, I'm not all that. Mm-hmm. Bring my pride down and glory to God. And so I always think of like just like boasting, in the Lord. Like, what does that look like? And so all glory goes to him. And so it's not about me and puffing up my ego. Mm-hmm. But it's like, hey, God, how are you going to use me? But I think, again, like glory as a word study, I think is really cool. So when you're going to Kavod and all that kind of stuff, it's very exciting for me because that's how I like to learn. but I think it's something where, I lost my train of thought. I was thinking of the word Kavod.
Yes. The weight of the pressure of being on the podcast has made you lose your thought.
No, honestly, it happens a lot where I'm thinking about something and I just lose my train of thought. And so the person will talk long enough where I can come back. But anyway, no, I think Romans 23 is just something very, again, to me, very humbling. Mm.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting parts of that verse, because a lot of times we read that verse by itself, is that contextually it comes right after this discourse about Jews and Gentiles and kind of who's better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of, I believe at the time the Jews were trying to say we have something over the Gentiles because of our upbringing and our relationship with the Lord. And then Paul's kind of just pointing out, all have sinned and fall short. It's not, you know, we're better than you. And so it's like, no, everybody's in the same boat.
Right.
And so there's something for all of us that we're not experiencing mm-hmm. and that we won't experience later as well because of sin.
Amen.
Okay, so kind of in light of that, you know, the present moment aspect of it, right? Because a lot of times that verse has been used in regarding heaven.
Right.
But in terms of like the present moment, like there's something that we were designed for that we're not experiencing today, you know, or each day. And I kind of went this direction a little bit, but I only just touched on it on Sunday, was a question that I've been asking myself and then just kind of pondering is, what did it look like before sin came in the world? Hmm. Were Adam and Eve able to experience that glory mm-hmm. before sin came in the world, right? And so when God created and he said everything was good, this was all pre-sin, right? So before sin came in, and it says, for all of sin and fall short of the glory, it's like, okay, so then before sin, were they experiencing the glory? Mm-hmm. And then when sin came into the world, that's when they stopped experiencing the glory, right? Mm-hmm. And so then my mind goes to, okay, so, you know, before sin came in the world, it says that Adam and Eve were naked and they felt no shame. Mm-hmm. After sin comes in the world, they felt their shame. They were still naked, and so they covered themselves with
leaves
and, you know, they made coverings for themselves. So before sin and after sin, and before they made their coverings, they were both naked in that season or in that time, right? And then, so again, my mind, sometimes I just go down these rabbit holes and start spiraling. But my question that I was asking was, okay, so before sin, they were naked, but were they uncovered, right? And so kind of, following that train of thought with the glory is like they were covered by God's glory because sin hadn't entered the world yet. And then, so when Adam looked at Eve, he saw the glory. When Eve looked at Adam, she saw the glory, right? And then when sin came into the world, that glory left and then they were just themselves, right? And so that's when they experienced the shame. In addition to, they knew what they did, they knew they disobeyed, all that stuff, which adds to it, but the glory had gone. So those are just questions or things that I've been thinking about in regarding glory and, you know, what does it look like for us to experience that again?
Right. And one, disclaimer, we don't have all the answers as we go through this thought experiment, but right.
That's why I said these are questions that I was asking myself in regarding some of these word studies or just like looking at some of the ways that the Bible is written.
Right. And so when I think of shame, I think of, so a lot of people pair shame and guilt together mm-hmm. when they are two different things. Mm-hmm. They're similar, but different, right? So shame, when I think of shame, it's, I'm not enough, mm-hmm. right? Like, and then guilt is I've done something wrong. I feel bad, right? Mm-hmm. It's very layman terms, right? And so when they experience shame after their eyes were opened after sin entered the world. I'm glory's gone. Mm-hmm. I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. And so when you see someone else, or I'm sorry, when you walk into the light of seeing the glory of other people, it's like, wow. I think it's obviously it comes to identity. Mm-hmm. It comes to like Damon, you're a son of God. Wow. That's amazing. That's really cool. I want to honor that. I want to be a part of that. And I also have that too, right? Mm-hmm. In how you see it in me. And so I think it's this interesting when you say like the glory left, right? Like disappeared after sin entered the world.
Left, lifted, wasn't, they're not experiencing it. I think those are just different ways to express that.
Right. And so it makes me think of, we can attempt, is attempt the right word? We can attempt to live in God's glory by honoring him and doing everything that he commanded in scripture, but also like, how can I honor other people and be honored myself? Mm. And I think that's really tricky. Because just the history of sin and the flesh, but it's like, okay, how do I live that out mm-hmm. right now? And I think that's very interesting because I feel like in Christian circles, or at least in daily conversation, I don't use the word glory often, mm-hmm. if ever, you know, hey, how can I glorify you today? Like that just doesn't roll off the tongue for me. And so I try to think of like, how would you say that you experience the glory of the Lord in other people? You know, like mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know how to answer that really, or even in a normal conversation.
Well, that's where it's like, do we experience the glory of the Lord in other people, or is it we're supposed to experience the glory of the Lord in him, and then that shines through us? So if they're not experiencing the glory themselves, then how can we see it in the...
Right, yeah.
Semantics and having a good discussion.
but I think, yeah, I feel like the words glory of the Lord is just not used often mm-hmm. or enough for our minds to kind of go that way. When I think of the word glory, it immediately links to like honor. Mm. And so like, I'm trying to give a context. Okay. Well, I think of the movie Glory, by the way, super side tangent. Your example of Superman, I think was great. Even though you said it wasn't a one-to-one analogy, when I was driving over here, I was like trying to think of a different example. I couldn't do it. So I think Superman was a really good visual aid. And you were very clever with the sun and the sun. Like, okay, like, that's cool. But
all right, weren't in service on Sunday to see the message, I used a clip from the most recent Superman movie. In the new DCEU or whatever they're calling it nowadays. Yeah, yeah. But okay. it was a part where Superman was trapped because Metamorpho, who is able to create any substance on Earth or extraterrestrial, is able to make kryptonite, right? So he makes kryptonite and traps Superman in this kind of cage. Right. And then his heart for Superman kind of changes. He stops making the kryptonite, and then Superman is still kind of deformed and hurting, and he's not super... experiencing his superpowers yet. Uh-huh. And so like Metamorpho is like, bro. Okay. He didn't say bro, but I'm around my kids too much. And so he's like, hey, why do you still look messed up? Like I got rid of the bad thing. You should be okay now. And then Superman's like, it's because there's no sun. Like I get my power from the sun. I need a sun. So Metamorpho creates a facsimile of a sun. It's not an actual sun. It's an artificial sun. And then Superman gets a decent amount of his power back. And then he's able to break out. And then he starts getting chased by the guards and stuff. And the guards are like, kill him now because he's still weak. Because he hasn't experienced the real sun, right? So then he needs to get outside so that he can be in the real sun. And so kind of the analogy that I was trying to point at is, one, you know, Jesus took care of our sin on the cross, right? And so we're not under the effects of sin, or we're not under the influence and the power of sin anymore.
The kryptonite.
But we still are under the effects of living under the power of sin before. The world that we live in. And the ways that, the choices and the things that we made while we were under the power of sin. And so a lot of times, right, It's like, when we, even when we talk about like, okay, you're a new creation, you're a new creation. But there's something in us that's like, okay, but why am I not experiencing that? Why am I not living that? And a lot of it is just because we have not come into the Son, right? Like, we haven't come into regular contact with Jesus, right? It's like, okay, I've accepted him. I believe the right things. I know the right things. And I might be checking the right boxes. Like, I go to church. I read my Bible. I do X, Y, Z. But sometimes those things are actually more religion than actually relationship with God and with Jesus, right? And so kind of the analogy that I wanted to give is like, okay, so some of those, sometimes those, some of those things could be like the artificial sun, right? So we get something out of it. It's good. It's good for us. But it doesn't give us the fullness of what we were supposed to experience. And sometimes it's even just, you know, when things are going right. Like, if we feel good, right? When things, when things happen, we win a basketball game. Like, there is an aspect of like glory, but it's temporary, and it's, and it's not eternal, the eternal glory that we were made for.
Right.
And so the question is like, how do we experience that when things go wrong or when things don't go the way? Are we still able to, you know, fall on those things to help us? It's like, no, we actually, we really need the real thing, and that's where we need Jesus, right?
Right.
And so for Superman, right, in kind of in that analogy, with the artificial facsimile of the sun, he was able to break free of the cage that he was in, but then at the same time, he still had to fight.
Right.
You know, and they still recognized that he wasn't fully himself.
Right.
And so in order for that, he'd have to go out into the real legit sun.
Right. Yeah, there's this, I like what you're saying about, there's, I can be doing the right things, like religion, going to church, praying, small group, even when times are good, like my family's doing well, I'm making money, you know, the house is still operational, you know, whatever. And those are good things, but then when times get tough, or when things don't go the way that you plan, almost to a degree, where's your faith now, right? Very Job, where when the external or the intellectual, I'm doing the right things, I don't understand. It's like, where is your faith in those moments? And is God's glory shining upon you in those great moments? Like, are you giving praise and thanks for God? Is your attitude of thanksgiving, attitude of gratitude, right? Is your heart posture still pointed towards God? Towards God and what he's doing for you. And so it's, I think that's really hard. Definitely when, how do we experience the glory of God in the good moments just as much in the bad moments, or in the bad moments just as much in the good moments, right?
And I think sometimes it's actually in those bad moments where we experience it more.
100%.
Where we can experience it more if we're, you know, kind of looking in that direction.
Oh yeah, some of, like, so a couple years ago was one of the hardest years of my life, and I think I had never been closer to God ever, and it was in the, those difficult places where God met me and he was like, I'm here for you. And for me, it was like, I would never want to let that go, right? Because it's so easy to spiral, and it's so easy to choose things of the world or escape, right? But for me, in those really, really dark days, it was like, I am so glad that I know Jesus. I'm so glad that he chose me again and again when I would run away or when I would whatever. And so it's not to say that you have to experience bad things to be close to Jesus. No, but like, I'm very glad that my faith and my upbringing and my circles, that I had Jesus in all of those. Right. And so what am I doing in the times now where I'm feeling good or better? How am I trying to strengthen my relationship with Jesus and give him the honor and glory in the times that I'm feeling good, right? And if someone else is in that position, I see it very differently now, where it's like, I want to surround that person if, because they need help, because I've been there too, to a degree. And it's, tough times suck, but they're actually, there's a lot of growth in those sucky times, in those terrible moments, right? And so isolation sucks, right? But there's a difference between isolation and solitude, is what I'm learning.
Oh, no, for sure. There is a difference between isolation and solitude.
Like, just being by yourself can change the way that isolation or solitude, right? Isolation, running away. Solitude is intentionally being by yourself with you and the Lord. And I think that's a whole nother can of worms. That's a whole nother topic. But I think giving God glory in all these circumstances is tough, especially when it's not going the way that you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we, you know, recognize too, is when things are going rough or difficult, that some of those things that we, you know, thought were for the glory of God or things like that, that were just the artificial, right? And it's right. Like, that's not the real thing, because those things are failing me right now when I need it.
Right.
And then when we do rely and, you know, seek the Lord and he's the one, then it's like, oh, he doesn't fail.
Right. It's
those things that I was doing, those are failing, but right. He doesn't fail.
Right. That just makes me think of like lamenting and just pouring your heart out in any circumstance of like just being honest with God. And he honors all of that. And so as opposed to, I have to formulate the right words in this prayer for God to hear me. It's like, no, God cares. He listens. But it's just being honest, and that's really hard. Especially if you're not taught that way, or you're not told that you can be honest to God. Like, I've had certain conversations, like, is it glorifying to God if you use swear words in your prayers towards him? Like, is that honoring and glorifying? But it's honest, right? And so it's just this interesting conversation of, like, am I bringing glory to God if I'm pissed off at him?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know.
Well, what do you think? Where did you come to on that?
Oh, okay. Well, I think if you, I'm going to try to sidestep this. You can, so when you look at like the Psalms, right? David is just bearing his heart. A lot of those Psalms, he's running. He's on the run. A lot of those times he's like afraid and he's angry, understandably so. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there were like swear words in David times, but I'm sure if there were, I'm sure he'd be very tempted to use them. Or I don't know if he did. Maybe he did. I don't know. But, where did I come? Personally, I don't like swearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've never really struggled with. Not that I don't swear, but like I know that it's not as big of an issue for me. So I probably wouldn't swear at God, but I think if you're in a very difficult, tricky spot with the Lord, I think swearing in your prayer is not, okay, I'm not a pastor, so don't take this to bed, right? But it's like if, you know, having that honest, raw emotion, God can take it. I think that's at the end of the day. And maybe you might have to apologize or repent after you swear because God knows your heart. But for me, I probably wouldn't. But I can see someone else just being super raw and genuine. And then the Lord transforming your heart and be like, oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't swear or something like, or curse. But that's just my opinion. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, do you feel like it's a cognitive thing for a lot of people? Like, oh, I shouldn't do that, so I'm not going to, even though I want to, versus like, that's just not my the language that I use. I'm going to use as raw language as I have, you know, like, right. I feel like that's a little different too, because I, you know, either way, the Lord already knows.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Right. So the Lord already knows the depth of our pain or our struggle or whatever we're going through.
Right.
So it's like, how open are we going to be with the Lord in some of those things versus how are we going to be vulnerable with him, right, versus are we going to kind of keep things in a container that we feel like is acceptable?
Right. Cause I would say it's more of a heart posture thing, mm-hmm, like not necessarily the words per se, what you're saying, cause I think God sees the heart first.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're saying certain things to Jesus, he's like, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say anything, but I still want you. Right. So confession and saying the verbalness, mm-hmm, right. Cause I think, yeah, we all have those prayers in our heads versus prayers out loud. Jesus still understands both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's more of a heart posture thing. So I definitely agree with what you're saying, where have I ever sworn a curse in a prayer before? I don't think so. Verbally, no. Verbally, I don't think I ever have, even when I'm praying by myself. Yeah. But, so, yeah, sorry, tangent topic.
I mean, I've actually had a discussion with someone regarding that specific topic, and they were like, they kind of flat out asked me, like, are you comfortable enough with the Lord that you can cuss him out or cuss at him during your prayer? And I was like, I've never even thought about that.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
And not, okay, not in that term.
Sure. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, not in the terms of, like, am I comfortable with the Lord in that way? It was more like, you know, I don't use that language regularly.
Right.
Or, you know, like, so it was like, oh, that's a different question for me. The comfort level that I have with the Lord to bear everything that I have to him, you know, even if it's to that extent.
Right. Well, it's also, okay, now we're going a different topic, but the words that you choose is so interesting because you could live your whole life and never use a curse word, swear word, profanity, whatever you want to call it. You can live your whole life and still bring people down,
mm-hmm.
and like say super mean things. Mm-hmm. So in and of itself, swearing, right? It's you who give the words meaning. And the receiver is who gives the words meaning, right? And so if someone swears at you in a different language, you could laugh in their face and be like, I don't know what you're saying. It doesn't really matter. But they're using all these swear words. And so therefore the words don't have any power or meaning. And so you can still, you know, say, like, let your heart out without swearing to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be super raw and, like, you would never say that to another human being ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it can still be hurtful, right? So, this is very tangent from Glory of God. But I think... my relationship growing up was, when it comes to like swearing, would I say this to Jesus? No, I wouldn't want to. I don't think it would be very beneficial mm-hmm. or helpful for him or for me. And so I won't do it, but everyone has their different path. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
I mean, I really don't think it's that much of a tangent off of Glory of God, because I think that's part of this discussion is like, what does our relationship look like? Is it kind of in this specific box that we've religion has created, that this is the appropriateness of where we recognize, like you were sharing in the Psalms, like David's pretty raw. Like
it's very like, whoa,
it's not in a box. You know, he's not all boxed up and saying like, okay, this is what I believe is appropriate for this, you know, me interacting with God. It's like, oh no, he's like where, like, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
Like that was actually in one of the Psalms before Jesus quoted it later. Or before Jesus said it when he was on the cross, right? And it's like, all right, so you're actually feeling like God has forsaken you in this position, and you're kind of calling him out for that. Like, why are you doing this, right? That's not really boxed up. Like, I mean, you could just been like, hey, God, I'm going through a difficult time right now.
Right.
This kind of, this hurts, right? And it's like, no, God, like, why are you forsaking me, right? And, you know, like,
right, yeah.
That's
yeah,
a totally different heart posture or just dynamic, right? And so I think it is related to this question about glory, because it's like, what does our relationship with God actually look like? Is it just this set of, you know, prescribed prayers that we have?
Right.
Is this prescribed, like, all right, each day I'm going to, you know, read my Bible for X number of minutes, and I'm going to pray for X number of minutes, and then I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and it's very kind of in this box of religion versus like, no, like I have a relationship with the living God because he wants to have a relationship with me. And he's, you know, people say, oh, he's my best friend. He's my best friend. It's like, okay, well, do you talk to him like he's your best friend, or do you talk to him like he's, you know,
King of all kings, Lord of the universe? Yeah.
Yeah. Like you would talk to, you know, the governor or.
Right. Right, right.
Your teacher or something, or do you talk to him like he's your best friend?
Yeah, yeah. It also makes me think of kind of going back to the David of it all, like Job.
Mm-hmm.
Job says some borderline blasphemous things. If you kind of go through it, it's like, ooh, did he just ask God that question or declare that about God? And so something I think that you're talking about too is just like the word of should.
Mm-hmm.
I should be doing this. I should. And that should is such a tricky, slippery slope. I should be praying. I should be reading my Bible every day. I should. Right? It's so tricky where it's like, yes, but no. Right? Of you could read your Bible every day for 30 years and not be a lick closer to God
mm-hmm.
and not have a relationship with him. Right? And so are you giving God glory simply by reading scripture? I as opposed to I'm reading scripture because I want to know more about the Lord and how he, mm-hmm. he's affecting my life, right? Or how I can give God glory by reading scripture, right? And so it's kind of like we're dancing around heart posture, mm-hmm. Your relationship with the Lord, and it's so hard. Like, you can't be, again, we said this a few times ago, like comparing yourself, right?
So. It's funny that we're talking about cussing and should and all that, because something that, you know, when we started talking about identity at Catalyst and, you know, how do we respond to the shoulds or like the obligation? I go down some of these interesting thought processes.
Great, do it.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, we should beat the should out of people.
And then the whole should game goes into, it makes me think of like the messy grace, the whole truth and grace of it all, mm-hmm. where, I don't know if it was with you, but that phrase, like, you do you, mm-hmm. is technically not biblical, where it's like, no, don't you be you. Like, that can lead to so many bad things. If someone's on a rampage, you do you. It's fine. It's like, no, there's the truth that comes into that. But anyway, that's my own personal rant. But it's tricky. It sucks how in some places in the Christian walk is gray, and there are some things where it is black and white. And so it's just, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Lord, give me an answer, you know? And
I think that's how God actually wants it. Right? Like, I think he wants us to come to him with some of those questions, like, what do you want me to do? And we don't, because we have these prescribed or these things that, you know, kind of tell us what to do or the right way to go, when it's really like, God, which way do you want me to go? Because, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because something that I always find so fascinating, where I hear preachers or people sharing where, yeah, I've been doing this thing for 20 years, exact same way, but then this one time I just was like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he says, do something different. And then it changes their life. It's like, what? Like, that is insane.
Yeah.
Like, just tradition. Like, we're sometimes, as Asian Americans, or just in general, like, people are just so set on tradition, mm-hmm. where this is just how we've always been doing it. Why? If you're not broke, don't fix it. You know how many times you hear that? But sometimes the Lord's like, no, but this time, do something different. For you to have that relationship or the maturity or just that moment of pausing and being like, Lord, like, do you want me to do something different this time? No? Okay, great. I'm gonna keep going. Or, yes, I want you to do something different. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, man, now I'm scared. Why am I scared now? You know? And so, and I've heard that a lot of times with people at Catalyst. Lord, do you want me to praise you on my knees? He says, yes. Where it's like, okay. Do you want me to go to the front? Yes. Oh, I don't want to go to the front. Okay, whatever. Why did I ask? You know, and then now, you know, now that's between you and the Lord. And so, and none of that was a should. Should I? Mm-hmm. It was just, do it. This is what I heard from the Lord. I'm going to do it.
And I think that's an area where we can recognize that God is not boring.
Oh, 100. Yeah. No right? way.
Like,
yeah.
If it's just, we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, it can get kind of repetitive and boring, right? So it's like, sometimes like the Lord just wants to mix it up and it's like, oh, that definitely isn't boring.
Right. But yeah, but mixing it up for him to be like, yeah, I did that. Mm-hmm. I got you. I mean, with more eloquent terms, but really like, God's like, yeah, you need me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm going to make do something different or big for you, right? And we see that all throughout scripture again and again. But, yeah, should sucks. A lot of times when I'm with the youth, oh, I should be reading my Bible. I should be praying for these people. It's like, yeah, but you're already approaching it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, no, I want to. And that changes everything. And so, yeah, where your wants and desires isn't lined up with the Lord. Again, all tricky stuff, but that's your whole Christian walk. So
we're in a season at our church that we kind of kicked off this past Sunday as well, and we're in a season of fasting and praying, right? And so, kind of like we've been talking about this little discourse that we've been having on should, it's like, you know, a call to fast and pray can easily go to the place of like, oh, well, everybody else is doing
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Then I should do it. Like, I don't want to be the only one that doesn't do it. But, you know, kind of like we've been talking about, it's like, is that really what the Lord wants? You know, and so I've been sharing on the podcast, you know, that I've been trying to fast once a week for a while.
Kudos. Mad props. Right?
And so generally Thursdays are my day to fast. And then, you know, there have been times where I've had this discussion with God and with other people. It's like, am I supposed to keep going? Like,
the flesh is like, I want to eat on Thursdays.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, there's a lot of Thursdays like, oh man, like fasting is not,
no, 100%.
It's not easy. 100%. It's not always fun. You know, and then when you do it regularly too, it can get to the point where it's like, oh man, I'm not looking forward to Thursday.
right.
Oh man, something's going to happen on Thursday and I'm gonna be like, man, I'm so hungry
right.
You know? And so, but at the same time, it's like, sometimes those days are so good.
Right.
But there's definitely been times where it's like, okay, God, like, was that just a season? Is that supposed to be something that's supposed to be
for sure,
like forever? Is that something that's supposed to be like, are there seasons where I can take off? Are there seasons where, and so I think even in thinking about the like fasting for myself, it's been something where it's been like, I regularly have to be in conversation with the Lord. Cause okay. So here's the other part, you know, for this fast for this month, right? Uh-huh. There's a couple, I wouldn't say exceptions, but there's a couple ways that it can be different for different people. Right. So one is if you have a medical issue, where it's very difficult to fast and it wouldn't be, you know, it would be really bad for you to fast from food, right? You can abstain from something else. And
yeah.
I got to make sure I use the correct language. So Mimo, yes, I'm using the correct language, right? Instead of fasting from food, you can abstain from something else and choose to do that. Or the other part is like for a lot of people when they fast, it's like, especially if like 24-hour fast, right? They'll do like water only, right? And so for this month for our church, like kind of the rules are, it's if it fits through a straw, it's okay, right? So that's not everywhere. That's kind of how our church views it,
right?
And so, you know, that's a question that I'm asking myself regularly too. It's like, or not just myself, but asking the Lord too. It's like, okay, is today a water only day? Is today a, like I can have a, you know, 3 protein shakes and
yeah, a drop of juice, smoothie,
right? Like, so, you know, some of those types of things, it's like, okay, I regularly have to be in communication and kind of reach out like, God, what is it like for today? Or what is it like for this month? What is it like for this week? What is it, you know? And so it's been something that as I've stepped into fasting, it's actually been something that's enhanced my relationship with the Lord, because it's not something where it's just prescribed like, okay, I'm just going to do this every week, no matter what.
Right.
But it's like, okay, am I supposed to do this? So, I'll give an example too. So I shared on Sunday that, since Sunday was going to be the first day and we didn't make the kind of the public pitch to everyone yet. So we didn't have anyone sign up until Sunday at church. Someone had to go on Sunday because Sunday was the first day of the month. Right. And so, as a staff, we were talking about like, okay, somebody on staff has to go first because we need to have covering on the first day.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'll go first. Like I'm speaking, I'll go first. I'll take Sunday. So, you know, I know the rules for our church. We've done it a few times. We've had seasons of fasting. So I know that, for our church, like you can drink whatever. Right. And so as long as it fits through a straw. So I didn't get a ton of sleep on Saturday night. Saturday night. I didn't get a ton of sleep on Saturday night. And so I was, you know, part of it was working on my message and there was just other things going on. So I didn't get a ton of sleep on Saturday night. And so Sunday morning, I was a little tired, and then I was like, okay, should I drink? Like I have this coffee protein shake thing, right? And so I was like, okay, should I drink this coffee protein shake? You know, like I know I'm fasting right now, so I'm not going to eat.
Right.
But I also didn't sleep a ton and it wasn't a great sleep. What should I do? I feel like I should just drink this drink. Sure. Like it'll help me.
Yeah.
you know, I'm speaking. I want to make sure like it's a good message for everybody. Right, energy, sure. Energy. I don't want to come out like bleh.
Right. Yeah.
So like I go to my fridge and I'm about to open it to grab it. And then I felt like the Lord said like, no, water only until after church. Right. And I was like, okay. No. I was like, okay. And then kind of the sense that I got was like, he wanted me to know that it was him that was sustaining me and not this drink that I'm going to take, you know, to get some calories and caffeine and all that stuff. Yeah. Right. It's like, he was saying like, no, I got you. And so, yeah, this season of fasting is like, okay, it's actually enhanced my relationship with the Lord because I ask him questions about it.
Right.
Right. Versus just like, okay, this, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to do it because it's routine, or I'm just going to, you know, I said I was going to do it. I know the rules. I'm not going to say I stretch the rules but you know, like kind of take advantage of how the rules are, which for me personally, kind of side note, that's generally how I think is like, how can I stretch the rules as far as possible without breaking them?
Without breaking the system. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you see me at game night or playing games at Brandon's, you know, like, just know that sometimes I try to do that. And
so I think for me, as someone who doesn't fast as regularly as often as you do, I remember the last time I fasted, I'm pretty sure it's for Catalyst, where I'm so bad. Where, okay, I fulfilled the time slot, 24 hours, done. And then I think pig out is not the right word, but like I just remember just like food. And I started eating. And I remember after I had, or while I was eating, I feel like I'm defeating the purpose of this like fast if I'm just gorging myself. First world country, I'm very privileged. And so it's like, so then the next time I fasted, I was like, I have to be more intentional about my time, right? Or when I feel those hunger pangs or whatever it is, it's like, okay, no, I need to take this a little bit more seriously. Just because fasting is not normal for me. And so, is there any encouragement that you can give like a novice faster, which sounds really bad, but like, cause I think I respect you and Mimo so much for fasting. And I know that there are other people at church that fast regularly where it's like that's like a significant part of your day, like multiple hours of taking time out to not eat. Right. And so is there kind of any kind of advice that you can give, whether it's mindset, maybe not as much practical, but like mindset shifts or maybe they are practical things that you can do to keep focused on the Lord, like I'm doing this for a reason, as opposed to quote unquote religiosity of I'm just doing this because the church is doing this.
Yeah. So one of the things, so when Pastor Barry kind of made the call on Sunday to fast, he printed out some sheets, but that were kind of descriptions of, you know, ways to look at fasting, because not everybody has experience fasting, and they were written by Pastor Joe Yoshihara. Right. And so there were some things on there that were really good and helpful for people to understand, like, you know, what the purpose of fasting is and, you know, biblically why we fast. But for me, one of the things that fasting does is it helps me to recognize my hunger, right? I think, kind of like you said, we live in the first world and there's a lot of times where just food is easy to access, right? So there's a lot of times where we're not necessarily that hungry, right? And so, you know, it's easy to eat because the food is sitting in front of us or there's a snack sitting next to us. You know, my wife and I joke around a little bit sometimes with, you know, some snacks that were, it's like, get this away from me. I gotta stop eating it. We'll just keep going. Cause it's right in front of us. Right. And so this is a time where we're intentionally recognizing our hunger. And so for me, one of the things that's helpful is when I am hungry, it's like, oh, this is actually indicative of a different type of hunger. Like this is helping me to recognize my hunger for the Lord and not just my hunger, like to fill my stomach, but you know, my hunger for food. It's like, yeah, the Lord created me to be hungry for him too. And so to just kind of have that as a recognition, like, yeah, when I'm hungry, like I want to associate that hunger with hunger for him and not just hunger to fill my stomach.
Yeah, that's hard in the moment.
It is.
Right, it's 100% hard in the moment.
But I think that's where for me too, having done it for a while now,
right,
it's like, okay, I can train myself a little bit to to do that versus like, it's harder to do in the moment when it's like, you're doing it one time, like one shot, right? It's
right.
Over time, you're able to like shift that paradigm versus like, it's a lot harder to do in a condensed time period.
Just a shout out. If someone is feeling called to fasting, I recommend talking to Damon and Mimo and ask them about their journey. And because I think, you have talked about it multiple times where it's, I admire and commend you all. And I have not, I don't know, I haven't really prayed about it, about fasting, because I think it is a wonderful thing. And I think if there's anyone out there who's like, oh, maybe the Lord is calling me to fast regularly, I say talk to Damon or Mimo, or there are multiple people that do it.
And we have a few other resources too that we can share with you regarding fasting. You know, we've always talked about how much Mimo likes John Mark Comer, but he has created some good resources to help kind of shape our perspective on fasting and some of the other things that fasting does, right? Regarding our purity, regarding, you know, there are verses in the Bible where, you know, the disciples come to Jesus and say, like, why weren't we able to cast out these demons? And he said, you know, there's some that it requires prayer and fasting in order to do that, right? And it's like in other situations, they're just casting out demons, healing the sick, and doing all this stuff just out of the calling that they received from him. And then
the shadow of Peter.
Yeah. But there were some that were, you know, like, we need to fast and pray in order to get rid of those. It's like, okay, so what... There is a spiritual significance to the power that comes from fasting and praying, right? And so, there's a lot more going on than just like, okay, I'm not going to eat.
I'm just not going to eat,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But, yeah, we could talk. I mean.
That's a whole other sermon series. That's
like
a whole
I said, other, yeah. John Mark Comer has done a good job of creating resources, and there's hours and hours and hours of things to listen to or read regarding that. And so it's, you know. Hard to sum up in a nice 3-minute conversation on fasting on the podcast. But anyway, like, we are in this season, you know, we kind of like we shared, or we've been sharing, you know, as a church, we're stepping into some new things. You know, the healing services are going to be starting this Sunday. And, you know, that's a new thing for our church. Pastor Barry is hoping that we're going to grow it to the point where we can do those once a month. Right. And so it's like we're actually stepping into attacking the enemy's kingdom. Right. And so the enemy's going to fight back.
Right.
Right. And so some of these things that we're stepping into, it's like, okay, we need to prepare ourselves. And fasting can be a way for us to prepare for these new steps that we're taking, these new places that we're going.
Yeah. I know we're a little crunched on time, but something that we discussed before we were recording was, hunger in the sense of, oh gosh, I already forgot. Like hunger, there's the physical hunger that we have for like food, but then there's like hunger for the Lord and how we can shift our mindset and our paradigm of thinking. You can say it better. Can you finish my thought?
Yeah. So part of our discussion that we were talking about was our hunger and how sometimes it's displaced and we're not recognizing it has hunger for the Lord. And we're so, because we don't recognize our hunger, we're trying to fill that hunger because we are hungry with other things, right? So it's like, if I'm hungry for food and I'm just eating candy the whole time, like it might taste good, but it's not necessarily fulfilling and it's not going to last that long. And there's probably going to be a crash somewhere after the fact, right? And so it's like, how many times in our life are we filling ourselves and filling our time, filling the margin that we have with things that are not eternally fulfilling, which the Lord himself was supposed to be the one that was to fill us, right? So how many times are we, you know, seeking after these temporary things, seeking after these things that are, you know, they're good. I'm not going to say that they're bad. Some of them are bad, but not all of them are bad. But how many times are we seeking these things to fill us like a meal, but really they're just candy?
Right. I think the way that my brain takes that is hunger for the Lord is also like passion and desire for the Lord and things of the Lord and lining lining up, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this passion? And I think that even for like non-believers and non-Christians, I think they still have that. They don't know it, but they have that hunger for the Lord or that mm-hmm. passion to do the things of the Lord. They just don't know what to do with it. And so we hear all these stories about these champions, these super athletes where they've won all the titles, they've done everything they can do, but they don't feel fulfilled mm-hmm. and they don't feel that like, what now, right? Because at the end of the day, that's the candy that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They got the sweetness, they got the high, great, but now what? There's still something in me. Mm-hmm. And so we hear those stories about pro athletes where their whole life changes of like, I did all these things, but very, very Paul, right? Like, I have all these accolades, I did all these things, but it doesn't mean anything under the weight of the Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there are people at Catalyst and beyond that like have a hunger or a passion and a desire, and they just don't know how to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Catalyst staff, the mission of our church, I think does a great job at like discovering, you know, what are you called for and how can we nurture that? Well, I don't say we, cause I'm not staff, but like, how can the church help you pursue that passion, that fire, that desire, that hunger for what the Lord has for you in your life? And I think it's not to say if you're not hungry, that that's bad, because maybe you are already walking the life that God wants you to do. But I think there are people that want to discover that hunger or have it already. And mm-hmm. God wants to unleash that. And I think that's really cool.
All right. So kind of like you'd mentioned, we are running up a little bit on time. So Brandon, are there any closing thoughts that you'd like for our audience before we sign off?
Unrelated to the podcast, somewhere down the line, very soon, I'm going to do a board game night. And the reason why I'm announcing this is because, one, because I haven't done it in a while, but two, I want to continue to encourage people to bring friends and to bring people into the church, just because it's a very easy way to get people involved. And I really want to push multi-generational people coming to these nights, because games in general cater to the younger people, but I think...
Depends on what kind of game it is.
Right, no, so 100%. So I'm a believer that there's a game for everyone. And so if you know someone who's like, I don't play games because they're lame, like, I disagree. I think there's a game for everyone, and I probably have it. And so I want to encourage people to do it. And second side note, a few weeks ago, Pastor Sam, on one of his, the availability of slowing down, one of them was, play a really long board game. So if you struggle with playing a really long board game,
Richard,
I can bring
Richard
board games that take a lot of time, that are fun, I would say. And so I just want to encourage people to do that and to just hang out with people of different generations. And so I've gotten the comment of, hey, Brandon, can you do a little bit more mixing of like the young people with the old people, just to kind of get that family vibes? I will 100% do it. So I want people to go, and I want people to kind of live that out. And so I'm in full host mode. If you don't know how to play a game, it's okay. I know it, and I'll teach it to you. And so I just want to encourage people to have a good time. And I think I don't want to discredit the Mahjong team. I think the Mahjong players' nights are amazing. I haven't gotten to go, but I think they do a good job at just having new people meet each other. Although I did hear the one gripe from you was you're kind of stuck with the same people the whole night. Board game night, very different. I will mash you up with different people. You're not committed to certain games. So I just want to encourage people to go, just one, to have fun, two, to bring people around, and three, to kind of just keep that family vibe of all the generations going. And four, if you want to practice slowing down, I got you.
All right. It wasn't a gripe. It was just like... It wasn't as deep as a gripe. It
a victim was just, of circumstance.
It was just like, oh, there's a lot of people here that I would enjoy, like, I don't talk to regularly. It would be cool to be able to play a game with them, to just initiate a conversation.
Right.
And I would just felt I missed out a little bit.
All right, Mahjong team, get on it.
I've already talked to them, and in the future, I do believe that there will be a little bit more mixing. But I do appreciate for you, Brandon, that you do have that in mind and trying to mix people up. And because I do feel like, and I say this all the time when I'm speaking, I look around our church, we have some pretty amazing people. And so this is an opportunity. The board game nights and things are, and Mahjong, and they're just opportunities for us to get to know and see what the Lord is doing in other people that we might not normally speak to on a Sunday morning. And so I just love that we do have some of these opportunities to do that, to get to know people that are not a part of our normal circles that we're running around in. And these are very like low risk, low,
right.
Right. Just low entry points to be able to do that. Cause everybody wants to have a good time. Everybody wants to have fun. And so this is a chance to start building some of those bridges in a fun, you know, easy entry place.
Yeah, and I hope I'm trying to give off this vibe of, even if you don't know me well, you can still come up to be like, hey, Brandon, I want to play a new game, or I want to play a game with this person. I got you. Like I want to be like approachable. And so there have been, it's very side chat. There's this one game night where this person looked a lot like someone else. And so I gave him a hug. Oh, hey, how are you doing? And then like 20 seconds later, it's like, oh, you're not the person I thought I was hugging. And then I got that person involved. And so I think they, praise God, that they were opening to be throwing them with other people to play with games. But yeah, I think I want you to have fun. I want you to have a good time. I want you to get to know people. So don't be afraid to ask me, hey, I want to play a game, this type of game, because I probably have it, most likely. So please come and invite friends.
And you can reach out to Brandon beforehand to let him know what games you'd like him to bring, because he has just so many and he has to sort through which ones he wants to bring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Also, this is my gripe. Please RSVP. I put it on the Team Reach app. Please let me know you're coming. Because sometimes on the app, I was like, okay, like 12 people are coming. And then like
40,
not 12 people come. And so I'm just unprepared. And so it's just nice to know. So if you're going to come, actually RSVP, hit me up, send me a text, find me at church. It's very helpful. Trust me. Some people, they don't decide till that day, and I get it. But just give me a little, and bring a snack. Sorry. to round it out. Yeah.
All right. I think that's a great way for us to wrap up this episode. You know, I love our church. I love that we have this opportunity to, you know, walk together in all the generations, you know, and that's really close to my heart. And, you know, I shared a story about my grandma on this past multi-gen, just being a part of a multi-generational family like Catalyst is just a real blessing that I feel like I get to experience all the time. And so come on out to game night, come on out to the next Mahjong night, come out to the next basketball night. We're going to keep coming up with all of these different ways for us to gather together with all the generations. And, you know, everyone can get a chance to see how many awesome people we got at our church.
And how the Lord is moving in all of those things.
That too. Okay, that first. And then
everything else, yeah.
All right, well, thanks again, Brandon, for coming on. Thanks for volunteering, and I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Thank you. Brought to you by Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
All right, well, thanks again for listening. We appreciate all the listeners out there. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.